Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It is April here from Offer HR and Business Solutions. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Excuse me, to the Offer HR on the air with Offer HR Biz. Happy Talk About It Thursday. I do hope your day is going well. And have your HR day is going well. We are wrapping up the month of April. All kinds of good stuff is going on, right? So this month is I'm no HR fool, and so if you're new to the show, I'm April, CEO and founder and CEO of Offer HR and Business Solutions. We have been in business since 2009. And we are a virtual human resource management company. We have three divisions, which are the virtual human resource management division. We manage small businesses from two to 29 employees throughout the United States. We also have a virtual call center, and we have a recruiting and job placement. Division. I don't know where I am today. Okay, so... And so we welcome you to follow us on Twitter at @all4HR. And, follow us on Instagram, @all4HR. Like our Facebook page, @all4HR and Business Solutions. And join our Facebook group. Okay, I'm going to tell you, folks, my little handsome son has passed off some bug, I believe, or I got it yesterday while I was up at his school. So I'm like catching a cold all over again. Who does that? So bear with me. And so follow us on Twitter, @all4HR. We're also on Tumblr, @all4HR. We are on Pinterest at @all4HR, and we are on LinkedIn at @all4HR and Business Solutions. We also have our Facebook group, which is @all4HR Works for You, and we have our LinkedIn group, @all4HR Works for You, as well. And we have Twitter on @all4HR and Google Plus. So we're not that easy, that hard to find. We are at your fingertips. We're at all4hr.net. And so don't forget, if you have your HR questions, you can send your HR questions. You can chat live on the website, all4hr.net, and get your questions answered. You can also call our hotline at 844-4-ALL-4-HR and press #2 for our hotline. If no one answers, you can leave a message and someone will return your call within 24 hours. It'll be sooner, though. So we're not that hard to find, folks. I, again, hope your day, your Talk About It Thursday is going well. And so All4HR this month, you know, every month we feature a HR topic and we run with it, right? So this month we did this month, we our topic was I Know HR Fool. So we've been talking all month about combating and guarding against fraudulent and dishonest behavior in the workplace. So we've been given some tips and things like that all month. We've had a great time, a lot of feedback as usual. For those that were that joined our complimentary webinar yesterday from 12:30 to 1:30, we had the I'm No HR Fool webinar, and we had a fantastic job. We had a great turnout, and I am so glad that everyone joined in to the webinar. So we had a great feedback and some good questions. So thank you again. We will have another complimentary webinar next month. I'll stay tuned. We'll let you know what that one's going to be, what our topic's going to be for May 1st. As I said, 2018 is getting away from us. It's like really moving. It's picking up and moving, and all for HR and Business Movement Solutions is really moving for us, which is a good thing. So I am not complaining. Please understand that. I am so not complaining, even with the cold, right? So we've been we're talking about combating fraudulent behavior and dishonest behavior in the web in the workplace, from employees, managers, or coworkers, or to any degree, dishonesty and fraudulent behavior is not, you know that, and I know that. So we, again, we've been having a great time, and don't let me forget. Tomorrow, is, tomorrow is our Freedom Friday, right? Freedom Friday. You know what Freedom Friday is. So we've really been pushing this out and having a great time with it. And so on Freedom Friday, we answer an HR question. Live. And so what you do is you can go to our website, allforhr.net, and I click on our blog, and there are several blogs there, but you want the Freedom Friday HR question. And so you can drop a question in the comment section. That's where you drop it. Go down to the bottom, put it in the comment section, and press submit. And we select a question every Friday. We answer it live Friday mornings. And so we are having, a lot of fun with that. We've been getting questions, a lot of love from Ohio and from Michigan. And so we welcome you to join, go over to our Offer HR and Business, or OfferHR.net /blog. Click on the offer Freedom Friday HR question blog, and in the comments section, submit your question. There you go. And then if your question is selected, we'll answer your question live, and you will also get a free a gift from us just for asking, getting your HR question answered. How cool is that, right? So we've been really, again, having a great time with it. And we encourage you, the more questions, the more the better. And so go ahead and drop your question over there so we can answer your question. Absolutely. And so, again, we've been talking, excuse me, folks, I'm just working on a couple things at one time. I hate when fires start during the show, right? But got to put those company fires out, right? Can't let those burn too long. So, anyway, we have been talking all month about different scenarios about things to look for during the application process. And just things that you can do in your workplace to guard against behaviors in your fraudulent and unethical behavior in the workplace. And so so we had a great webinar yesterday. And we talk about the different scenarios that we that as HR professionals, business owners, HR professionals are just daily confronted with, right? And so when we try to guard against these types of behavior, because no one wants to deal with that kind of thing. No one wants to deal with that. And we would like to, in a perfect world, we don't have to worry about that, but that is such as not the case. It's not the case. And so we've been talking all month, and so we've worked this month to, raise awareness about the potential threat that's posed by staff fraud and dishonesty. And we've, provided some different scenarios for, when in the workplace, when you're dealing with fraudulent behavior. And if you have not, joined our Facebook group, there is actually in our Facebook group, you can join our great group, and we actually have some policies in there that are really simple policies that you can just critique to your companies to meet your company's needs or address we've been talking about. And so what we've been talking about is, exactly how to guard against these situations in the workplace. And so so some reasons, reasons for, for fraud and dishonesty are, the opportunity and materialistic reasons. Are reasons that staff sometimes feel pressure for personal gain or in, personal gain. And they commit, these offenses, because of debt, bills, gambling debt, name it, okay? And then the opportunities and pressures are prevalent in the workplace. While some companies are more vulnerable than others, like retail companies and manufacturing organizations or companies are they're more prone to it. They experience these type of behavior more often than companies in different other industries. And so when we talk about workplace dishonesty, we talk about lying, theft, misuse of company time, and absences under false pretenses. And a lot of people wouldn't you think that, you know, we're telling a little white lie, okay? So, you know, so what's the big deal, right? No. that's not what we're looking at here. And those are the, you know, there are several different occurrences or types of fraudulent and unethical or dishonest behavior. But those are certainly the most common. And things like lying are so prevalent to where, you know, it's now also almost looked as not even a crime or fraudulent because, you know, it's so much of the norm. You know, employees lie to supervisors. Supervisors lie to employees, employees lie to clients, you know, it's all around and around and around. And so when we talk about those different, the different scenarios, again, one of the most common occurrences is dishonesty is lying on the job, and like I said, the employees lie to each other. And then theft is another major one, which costs costs a lot of trouble. And believe it or not, employees. Theft is one of the most common cited reasons for failure of small businesses. And as I said, such, in some industries like retail and manufacturing are vulnerable than others, but no business is completely exempt from from these type of offenses. So also misuse of company time is another one. Employees may not realize that these actions are considered as dishonest behavior in the place of in the workplace. And misuse of company time is a great example of when employees do not view it as being fraudulent or dishonest, but it certainly is. And, you know, when you think about it, when companies lose big money when employees are away from their desk and jobs are not being done, they're not being done correctly, or employees are spending time on the computer and doing other things as opposed to doing their job on company time. And then absences under false pretenses. Those are all considered as dishonest behavior, and many employees learn how to abuse programs that award the time off for vacation and sick leave and personal day. So those are some of the type of offenses. And a survey conducted by Career Builder revealed that nearly 20% of people tell lies at work each week. Reported that they had actually been caught lying And an anecdote that Early shared in the Wall Street Journal article quotes a locksmith who quips that 1% of people will always be honest and never steal. Another 1% will always be not dishonest and will always try to pick your lock and steal the television. 1% that will always be dishonest and will always try to pick your lock and steal your television. The purpose of locks is to protect you from the 98% of mostly honest people who might be tempted to try your door if it had not been locked. How about that? So, you know, fraudulent behavior and dishonest behavior is caused by opportunity and motivation and rationalization. You know, the old everybody does it. That's a lot of the rationalization that someone, a person may have for committing a fraudulent act in the workplace. And so there's employee fraud, there's insider fraud, internal fraud, and workplace fraud, okay? And so fraud can be, staff can commit fraudulent or dishonest acts during on the employment application, unlawful obtaining or disclosing personal data, and unlawful obtaining or disclosure of commercial data, account fraud, and dishonest by staff to obtain benefits by theft or deception. Okay. And, you know, fraud is there are many definitions for fraud. But when it comes to staff or in the workplace, fraud is, it's, you know, individuals that dishonestly and knowingly make representation that is untrue or misleading. And an individual wrongfully and dishonestly fails to disclose information to other people. Wherein they have a legal to disclose information, or where the information is trusted entrusted to them, and they are reasonably expected to disclose to the proper authorities or in the proper context. So the information, right, should be disclosed in the proper context to the right people, and in instances where the information is not to be disclosed at all. And abuse of position, which is when individuals that are in a certain position are expected to safeguard another person's financial interest and dishonestly and secretly abuses their power in that position of trust without the person's knowledge. Okay. So we talked a little bit about kind of heading off fraud during the application process. And during the application process, fraud can be committed by applicants by using false identity, impersonation of an innocent party, or submitting false documentation. And then obtaining or disclosure of personal data. And so in that context, the violation of security policy for unauthorized purposes with the intent to facilitate further criminal offenses. The same can be if the same violation can be done with regard to accessing systems in an organization. If you are accessing unauthorized materials or unauthorized information for further criminal offense, for instance. And so also during the email, you know, that's a lot on it. You know, people, we're so lax with email to these days. Canning some of the stuff people put do texting and email. I mean, just private information right over the email or right over text over the over texting. What is that called? Or fraudulent personal use of customers' payroll data or customers' financial information. And so you want to know, okay, so how do I, and there's so much more, I'm telling you, the webinar we gave yesterday was 1 o'clock, it was a 1 hour webinar, and I'm telling you, in researching the information that I really, really want to share, that it could easily be a whole day seminar, easily, you know. So again, staff commit fraud for greed. And so they were talking about in how to combat staff fraud. We talked about it in our webinar yesterday and have throughout the month of, you know, why staff commit fraud. And there was one reason that I read the profile and common characteristics of staff fraudsters that employees should know common characteristics of staff fraudsters. And that one right there is pretty interesting because I don't believe there is a certain characteristic of someone that of a fraudster, which is the term that they're using, that they've used. There's an actual characteristic. I think sometimes it can be the most unsuspected people that are actually committing such offenses, you know. I'm drinking some tea, folks. My son got me sick again. So we're getting through our radio show, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm so happy to have you here with us on this Talk About It Thursday. You know, we're here every Thursday, 12:30 to 1:30. We're certainly having a great time. We want you to call in with your questions. I forgot to tell you to call in with your questions, folks, but you can call this number, 929-477-3184, or 85, I'm sorry, 929-477-3185. You can call in and ask your questions on about, you know, fraudulent and dishonest behavior in the workplace and how to combat it, or how to deal with certain situations. I think the most important part, when we talked about different ways to different ways to combat fraudulent and dishonest behavior in the workplace. And so I think one of the really most important things is, as small business owners, a lot of small business owners think that they're too small. And so these are not things that need to be addressed. And unfortunately, it is not until such an occurrence, right, that employers decide, oh, we need one of those policies. And it's unfortunate that it is you know, that it is that way. But unfortunately, that's a lot of times, that's how, you know, that's employers don't feel the need to do so until such an occurrence has taken place. And that's why it's important to, have policies in place and bring those policies to the forefront of your employees' minds. I was in at a roundtable a few weeks ago, and a gentleman was saying, you know, we put these employee handbooks in place, and people sign them because, you know, you have to sign acknowledgement of receipt of the employee handbook. And so his thought was, but how do we know? Because they can sign it. Of course, people sign them all the time and don't go through. Hence the reason. Oh, hold on. And so that's why it's so important that when you do your onboarding, you don't just give your employees the handbook, knowing that they're going to give that receipt, that acknowledge a receipt back, but in your orientation, you are going through and highlighting why you might not have time to go through each policy, but you can definitely go through the prevalent policies. One of them is perhaps, you know, how the company has a no-tolerance policy against fraudulent or dishonest behavior. You know, and so you put those out there in front because you're establishing the foundation of exactly the kind of company you are, how you value your employees, and you value that they are respected and that, you know, you don't tolerate that type of behavior. And so when you put those policies in place and bring them to the forefront of your employees establishing that foundation, then that for sure develops the culture. It pushes that culture out there so that it's a huge deterrent, definitely. Think about it. If an employee is in an environment where he's never even received an employee handbook, you know, then of course they're more apt to violate policies that clearly should be in place, clearly are state mandated to be in place, whether you're a small organization or a large organization, right? Whether it doesn't matter the size, I had a client tell me once, we don't need a sexual harassment. This is getting off just a tangent. We don't need a sexual harassment policy because the employees, if they don't see that policy in the book, then they won't commit sexual harassment. Really? Where do they do that? So you're telling me that if you don't see, or he does not see, a sexual harassment policy in the handbook, then they won't commit sexual harassment? Yeah, I don't know where the person got that logic from. This was a former client too, so no. That's so not true. What it does is when you have those and have them in place, policies in place, clear, concise policies that you are that, you know, again, you are protecting your employees, you value your employees, you value their health, their well-being, their safety. When these things are part of your culture, they are part of the very fabric of your organization. That's the kind of organization the employees want to be with and want to be there a long time. So, if you are just getting to the show, I am April Halliburton, founder and CEO of Offer HR and Business Solutions. We are a virtual human resource company with 3 divisions. Doing my little commercial there, folks. Hold on. So, you know, we have our virtual human resource management division, which provides solutions for small businesses, virtual solution, HR solutions for companies with 2 to 29 employees. And we have a job placement and recruiting division where we are partnering applicants with Fortune 500 companies, and we have a virtual call center. So, yes, we have a couple here divisions. And if you have not had the chance to, you can follow us on Twitter at @all_HR. You can follow us on Instagram, @all4HR. You can follow us on Tumblr, @all4HR. We are on at LinkedIn, @all4HR and Business Solutions. And we also have the @all4HR Works LinkedIn group. Our Facebook group is also @all4HR Works for You. And so I encourage you to join one of the groups and where other business owners and HR professionals are talking about HR, right, and how to make their companies great. I'm not trying to sound like Donald Trump. Don't for a moment think I'm getting ready to say how you make America great. Like, that's not me. I'm saying how they're making their own. I'm not talking about that. I'm going to try and talk like Donald Trump for sure. Trust me. But in any regard, this month we're talking about I Know HR 4. We were talking about the different things that you can do to combat fraudulent and dishonest behavior in the workplace. Okay. You know, our motto is business can be like a circus. Don't let HR be the elephant in the room. So, getting back to what we're talking about some ways to combat and guard against fraudulent and dishonest behavior. And so one of the ways is by vetting and security screening. And the lack of staff vetting and security screening is, in some organizations, essential to the staff problem. So to suffice it to say that when you are not checking the credentials of employees or of applicants, not calling references, okay, that's when you run into the problem, okay? That's when you run into the problem. And so recruitment checks are actually the first line of defense in preventing fraudulent behavior and identifying staff that are who are susceptible or vulnerable to collusion or opportunistic fraud. Okay? So some ways to vet an applicant is internet searches and of course, the corporate application form is making sure it is completely filled out. Hold on, folks, one second here. And so identification checks. And electoral register checks, references review, qualification checks, that means checking credentials. There we go. And so credit reference checks, the initial applications, verifying the candidate details, which is the verifying the application information with the resume, you know, kind of seeing if they match up. And a lot of people don't want to do that, I'm telling you. A lot of people don't want to spend the time to do it, which is, you know, and I know it's a little bit more difficult with small businesses than larger organizations. That's why I say it's important that when you are hiring, even if it's a small company, that you have a team. You have more than one person that all of the responsibility of hiring or filling position falls on them. So you do have someone to actually do reference checks and things of that nature, okay? And another way is through combating fraud and fraudulent and this out of behavior is through your organizational culture. And that's what I was talking about a bit ago when I said that, you know, you have to not only put policies in the book, you have to make sure that you are practicing what you preach. Okay, you have to be practicing what you preach. And so if there are management, there is management that is also that have committed fraudulent, guess what? A lot of people tend to mimic the behavior of, you know, of managers or supervisors. And so in doing so, with regard to the culture, that's what I said. You have to instill these kinds of policies and procedures in your the very fabric of your company. You have to put your policies in and make sure that they're being that those policies are being exercised and then executed. And so that's when you talk about having policies like fraud management, staff fraud prevention, code of conduct and business ethics policies, staffing assistance policy, whistleblowing policies, fraud specialists working with HR, and investigations. So making sure that whoever your HR person is or HR team, that they are trained. And if they haven't been trained, then their efforts probably will be a bit moot because they won't know what they're doing, right? So you can get trainings like that. Disciplinary matters, making sure that you are executing disciplinary action when offenses take place in the workplace, and reporting fraud. Those are things that you have to, you know, you have to keep in mind, you have to put in place. And as I said earlier, that if you are, if you haven't had time to join our Facebook group, which is All for HR Works, there is, in there, we have two policies in there they're actually templates. And one of them is a whistleblower policy, and the other one is a anti-fraud policy. And so those you can pick right up off of the out of the group and take them and put them right into your policy, into your employee handbook. And when you do so, though, then that's like a change. So what do you need to do? You need to address those policies that are being implemented in a, you know, it could be a short webinar or web seminar with your employees as to why you're implementing those policies and how they work and things like that. Another way to combat is monitoring staff. And I said this, it doesn't mean, we had that question yesterday, it doesn't mean overburdening yourself trying to watch over the shoulders of your employees, because you don't want to give the impression that you don't trust anybody. However, you want to be aware, and you want the necessary measures taken to protect your organization and your employees. Discuss with your employees the benefits of implementing such policies, like I just explained, the whistleblower or the anti-fraud, and discuss with them alternatives to surveillance or well-intrusive methods of monitoring, and the obligations that arise out of monitoring. If monitoring is justified, explain to them why. Communication is the key, folks. I'm telling you, communication is the key. So if you are implementing policies, whether it is updating your progressive policy, discipline policy, or you are implementing one of the policies that you can pick up from the group, the Facebook group. When you put those in your handbook, be sure to have that discussion with your staff, explaining to them, because you don't want to make it seem like you're going behind their back when you communicate them and let them know that you are, the approach that you are taking is, you know, you're taking the risk-based approach, which means you're guarding against potential risks that are going to protect your employees and your company. Okay, we are getting, all right, and so you can see we can go on and on about it with this conversation here. So, listen, if you haven't had a chance, if you'd like to get a copy of our replay of our webinar yesterday, shoot me an email at allforhr@allforhr.net, and I can send that over there to you, get you the replay. It's also on our YouTube channel, too. So it has been great. Folks, we are having a great time here at Offer HR Business Solutions, and we want to hear from you. I got talking here. I didn't invite my listeners. I gave the number only one time. Oh, shame on me, shame on me. Say a prayer that by Thursday when I come back around, or by Tuesday, let's say Tuesday. Let's make it Tuesday, because Tuesday is our on the air. Not on the air. Tuesday is our Facebook Live, Tuesday. And so you'll know what our new topic is and what we're rolling with for the fantastic May of May 2018, right? So we're getting moving forward, folks, really fast. And if you, I know you have finished those 2017 projects, but if you have not, give us a holler at allforhr.net, or give us a call on our 844-425-5447 line, and we'll be glad to take those off of your hand. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter, allforhr. We're on Tumblr, allforhr, and on Instagram at allforhr. We are on LinkedIn at allforhr Business Solutions. And Facebook, so be sure to stop by and like our Facebook page, folks. And for our business owners, our small business owners, come on and join the group. We are really growing this group. We have other people in it. We're growing the group, and it's so good for small business owners to have a place where they can converse and ask questions and share scenarios and get questions answered and answer questions. You never know how you may be able to help another business owner. And so I share information in there. We share policies and all kinds of great stuff in there. You know I love HR, folks. You know I love it. And I love my small business HR. Love my small business owners. Yes, I do, with a passion. So listen, it has been great. I have had a fantastic time, as usual, with my on the air with Offer HR Biz. I just love, you know, I could actually do this every day. You do know that, don't you? I could do this every day. You're probably going, no, not every day. But, yes, I can do this every day. So, listen, remember, business can be like a circus. So don't let HR be the elephant in the room. Hey, check you out next week on the air or on Tuesday, Facebook Live. Have a great talk about it Thursday, a great HR day. Don't forget to leave your question on the blog so we can answer your question in the morning. Don't forget, allforhr.net/blog. Go in there and drop your questions on the offer on the Freedom Friday HR question blog in the comments section. We pick it up tomorrow. We'll pick up that a question. You will win a prize and get your question answered tomorrow live. All right, folks, listen. Have a great one.